In the midst of this beautiful Christmas season, we come this evening to the great feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And in many ways, it's a continuation of what we just celebrated a few days ago with Christmas, that God, in his remarkable wisdom and love for you and for me, has decided to save us through becoming one of us, right? God entering humanity through his own Son, taking on human flesh, saving us from sin. And in the midst of that, then, of all the ways that God could have entered humanity, of all the ways that God could have become one of us, which we profess at Christmas, he entered this world in a family. It's remarkable to consider that Jesus becoming man, entering a family, having a mother, having a father, Saint Joseph, reveals to us in many ways God's great love and great beauty found in family life. And we celebrate that here this evening with this Feast of the Holy Family. You know, this church here has been around a long time, 125 years, 126 years here in 2024. And it's remarkable, right? All the different images we have throughout this church, for decade after decade, that help us pray, our statues, our stations of the cross. Oftentimes when visitors come, they highlight the beautiful stained glass windows we have, the two big ones, the Nativity right over here, highlighting Christmas, and then on the west side there, the Crucifixion. Those two windows were from the 19-teens, so over 100 years old. In the 19-teens, those came from Germany and were installed in our church. And so we have a lot of different windows, a lot of different images that help us pray, enter more deeply into our worship of God. But perhaps one image that has caught my attention this week, we can easily miss, we can pass it day after day, week after week, and very easily miss it. And you don't got to look right now, I don't want you to hurt your neck or anything. But on your way out today, if you leave by the baptismal font, where the main doors of the church used to be up until I think 2002 or so, but where the main doors of the church used to be, there's a beautiful image of the Nativity of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And in many ways, it's the Holy Family. It's the image of the Holy Family that we have right there at the back of the church. And what we do now for funerals is we have the casket open for visitation as people come to pay their respects and families come to say their last goodbye to their loved ones, is we have the casket open in the back of the church, right by the image of the Holy Family. And that's providential in many ways. One of the reasons there's some providence to it is that Saint Joseph, as many of us know, Saint Joseph is the patron saint of a happy death. He's the patron saint of a happy death. That might sound kind of weird to say, but the reason that Saint Joseph in the tradition of the church has always been the patron saint of a happy death is because tradition teaches, and we can use our reason to conclude, that when Joseph died, Mary and Jesus were there with him. Talk about a holy death. To be called home to the Father and to have Jesus and Mary there present at his moment of death. And the reason the tradition offers that is because we know that when Jesus began his public ministry around the age of 30, there's no mention of Saint Joseph, is there? Jesus never mentions him as he's going throughout Galilee preaching. We have all kinds of evidence of family members who were there, references to Mary and other relatives of his, but Jesus never references Saint Joseph. And more than likely, the reason is he had already passed. And if Jesus really never left Nazareth after he returned to Nazareth, right? If Jesus never left Nazareth during those hidden years, you would call them, his childhood, his teenage years, his 20s, into his early 30s, more than likely, Jesus would have been home when Joseph died. And so we call St. Joseph then the patron saint of this happy death with Jesus and Mary being there. I want to just reflect just briefly here this evening a little bit more on St. Joseph, this patron saint, not just of a happy death, but St. Joseph, everyone, is also the patron saint of the universal church, right? Another saint said of Saint Joseph this remarkable, I think, reflection. A saint once said that of all the male saints in the history of the church, the greatest male saint is Saint Joseph. Not a pope, not a cardinal, archbishop, bishop, priest, deacon, not a hermit, not a monk, not even a martyr. But the greatest saint in the history of the church, the greatest male saint in the history of the church, is a father and a husband, a parent and a spouse. And it reveals to us that we live this Christian life, everyone, in the family, that we don't have to do remarkable things, going to the ends of the earth, dying for the faith, if God doesn't call us to that. But God chose Saint Joseph as a model for you and for me, that holiness is found in fidelity to the daily task. Holiness and sanctity is found in being faithful in one's family, faithful in marriage, faithful in all those different ways. And so if you need a little extra encouragement or example, we look to Saint Joseph, a father and a husband. Now, Saint Joseph, we know, if we look throughout the scriptures, there's not one word we have from him, right? A lot of saints say a lot of different things, right? Jesus talks a lot, Mary says a few things. You have other saints and other people throughout the scriptures who spoke, but we don't have a single word spoken by Saint Joseph. Even when the angel appeared to him to tell him what was going on in his relationship with Mary, Joseph never said a word. And so Saint Joseph is sometimes called the silent saint, the quiet saint. Another person reflected once about Saint Joseph that this whole reality of being a bit hidden at times, this reality of being hidden, reveals to us that the saints, which you and I are called to be, the saints are those who disappear into the mission of the church. Let me just say that again. The saints are those, a saint is one whose life has disappeared in the mission of the church. Not up front, not showy, not flashy, not popular, not famous, but their life has disappeared in service and in mission to the church. And I think that's worth highlighting, because so often, right, in our daily task, being a mother, being a father, being a parent, all these different ways, it oftentimes goes unnoticed and unthanked. And we say, what's going on here? But that's the life of sanctity. That's where God is making us holy, where our life has disappeared into the mission of the church. You know, I have friends from seminary that I haven't talked to in a long, long time. And I think sometimes, like, where are they? Where'd they go? I don't hear from them anymore. They're serving the church. Their life has disappeared into the mission of the church. And everyone, that is not just for priests. That is not just for Saint Joseph and Mary. That is for you and for me. That our life is in a way to disappear out of service to the church in a hidden sort of way. Saint Joseph, the greatest male saint in the history of our church, offers us that example. And today we look to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the holy family life that they had to be the model of our own family life.